First place, vital authority. And I'll try to explain. I do the best I can, but the Holy Ghost will do the rest. Amen? You rely on Him. You rely on the Lord to quicken you and give you insight. And, you know, I was thinking about back earlier in the week, I don't listen to much news, you know, because there's so much propaganda and stuff going on out there in the news media and all of that stuff, and you really don't know what to believe if you listen to it. You know, you just really, it'll confuse you, really. And but anyways, we saw over the last 5 years, we saw evil come and rise. I'm talking about across the world, you know. And we've seen a lot of things take place, and but we've seen God's people stand up last year, fast and pray and believe God for a turnaround in our country and in our nation and in the world, hallelujah. And because God's people stood up, people of faith, and went to the ballot, all kinds of stuff, you know, but mainly, you know, faith and everything, we've seen God, He's purging and taking down all the evil principalities and powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world are being dismantled. They're being dismantled, you know, and you won't hear it on the TV. But according to God's word, He said that darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness. Isaiah chapter 60. He said, but arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Hallelujah. And I'm excited. I don't say that by faith. I say it because of faith that I have in God and what He's doing. And the best of Christianity is ahead of us. I'm talking about signs, wonders, miracles, open doors for those that will take God's word and put it first place in final authority. I'm going to try to explain that to you, what I mean by that. Praise the Lord, with the help of the Holy Spirit. But God's word is all the evidence that God's people needs to know that have put their trust in Him and their confidence in Him. The word of God is all the evidence that you need to know that you have victory. And victory will happen if you don't quit and you don't lose heart in what you're believing God for. Hallelujah. Because God is faithful. God is faithful to His word. He's faithful to back it up. He watches over it to make sure that it does what He sends it out to do, whether it be through you praying, you reading, you hearing preaching, and God gives you light in something. You lay hold of that, and I mean you don't let it go. You look in God's word, and God's word, just say healing for an example. You know, you believe in God for your, the Bible says that the word of God is medicine to all of our flesh, it says. Not to our spirit. It feeds your spirit. But the more you feed your spirit and believe what the word of God says, that's putting it first place. Your body may tell you, your mind and the devil may tell you, you're getting older, this is just the way it is. And he wants you to begin to come in agreement with the way you feel, or doctor's reports, or the way things are, or other people. He wants you to come in agreement to that, and so that you are not putting God's word first place. You understand that? I'm telling you, I am walking out what I have believed God. It's in my life. What I have believed God for all of this time. He's provided all along. I should done be dead. He worked miracles. He worked miracles for me, even when I had a heart attack and open heart surgery. But one thing that I had to do, even before I had it, was put God's word first place and final authority, and not go by how my body felt, pains and aches and all of that. You know, and even when I was going into surgery, one of my brothers come to me and he said, "I prayed this morning." He said, "I hope God heard me." And I looked at him laying in there pre-op. I'm thinking to go in. I looked at him and I said, "Well, I talked to Jesus this morning." I said, and I'll see you after a while. I said, he heard me. I know that he heard me. You know how I know that he heard me? I didn't feel no big explosion or anything. He says that God hears me, and if I believe that he hears me, I know what I ask him for. I believe that instead of what my mind says, that God might not have heard me. God, maybe he will. No, the Bible is clear. So I put that first place in that time of not knowing. And you know what? Praise God. And I told my brother, I looked at him and I said, I want to see you in church. I said, I'll be back in church. Well, I come out of surgery. My body told me I couldn't, I wouldn't, I'd never, I couldn't preach. And all of that, praise God. And I stood on God's word, first place, final authority, and I recovered quickly. I got that out of Isaiah. The Bible says that mine and your health, if you are attacked or whatever, shall spring forth speedily. That's where we get that. So I believed according to Isaiah 58, and my body told me I couldn't, didn't want me to hold a plate or anything. I'm not telling you my story. I'm telling you the power of God's word. Somebody told me not too long ago they don't really like stories, Mac. I tell too many stories here. So I began to think about it, and I thought, well, that's all Paul did. But God, I was shipwrecked, right? You know, and I thought, sure, Satan would really like to work on my mind with that, Richard, so I wouldn't come in here and tell you that God will break $130,000 debt in your life. Amen? Satan don't want me to come in here and say, no matter what the affliction is that comes against you, you can recover. And if the enemy is caught and you know it's stealing, the Bible says that he has to pay you back seven times if you lay hold of it. It don't happen for every Christian. I'll show you in a minute why it don't happen for a lot of Christians, praise God. It's not because Christians are bad or all that. The Bible says that we perish because we don't know for a lack of knowledge. God said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. See, you got a lot of people quotes a lot of stuff that ain't in line with the Bible. And a lot of stuff don't work for those folk because it's just quoting or saying God's faithful or all that. That's all great and good. But I'm telling you, praise God, if you want results, the Bible says that me and you are to live long. He said he will give us long, satisfied life, not long, sick, weak, broke, discouraged, oppressed. That's not what the Bible says. So if any of those are trying to work on you, you got to stand up and you got to get the word of God. In 1 Timothy 6:12 says, for me and you to fight the good fight of faith. Faith is not a bad fight. It's a winning fight. Hallelujah. And so I'm real excited. We got a whole government and all that's mentioned in the name of Jesus Christ. That's not happened in decades. They could say Obama and all of them, a Bush, Christians, all of them, they could say God, because God is not God that we know to the world. But you don't offend the world. You don't offend them that praise to other gods, that worship other gods, if you say the word God. But you say the word, you say Jesus Christ. Praise God. I mean, I've not in my lifetime, Johnny, praise God, seen our government and the people and the cabinet and all of that, how prayer warriors and prayer times and all of that. We are in a move of our God in this nation, and we're going to see the results before the end of 2026. God is taking down the principalities and powers that has been able through government and even down to our local to oppress the people of God. and the enemy's back, that God set this up. We're in the right time at the right place, the right man in office at the right time. Hallelujah. I'm not even political, but I am about Jesus. I am about righteousness ruling. The Bible says when the evil are in authority, the people mourn. But when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Hallelujah. Well, we're the righteous, Johnny. We got a rule. I had a little dealing today with the truck. Told the dude, you can't get here after 4. And he called me. I can make it by 4. And you know, and he got there late and all of that. You know, and I mean, he's gonna try a truck out to buy it. And I'm rushing him so much till he ain't got time to try it out. I said, you gonna buy it or not? And then I told him, I said, if you stay much longer, I said, you're just gonna have to go to church with me. And I thought about it, you know, he done said the bum words, you know, he done speaking bum words and all of that, you know, and when I told him that, then when we made the deal and all that, and he said, and God bless you. I said, he does. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not looking for a reason not to come to church, hallelujah. My body ain't going to tell me I can't come. My body's not going to tell me I can't do the things of the kingdom of God. I'm going to take God's word first place and make it final authority. You know what final authority means? It means my body says this, but the word says that, and I settle it because the word says it, and I tell my body what to do. I know that seems foreign. Out there, they're not taught, seem like in the churches a lot of times, but the word is real clear. It's not gray areas with the word of God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy over there, 28, it says, if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and do all that he commands you to do, all these blessings, that is not, you don't have to mix nothing in there. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, we're not under the law of the commandments. I said, no, we're under the command of love now. I said, and if I walk in love, I said, whatever he tells me to do, if I love him, I'll do it. I said, that's simple. I said, no, I don't have to go get a goat and a sheep and a what and blow the shofar or whatever it is, you know. All I got to do is keep the love command. Love the Lord my God with all of my heart, all of my strength, all of my mind. And love my neighbor as myself. Now that's a kind of a toughie there, Richard. When your neighbor runs the buggy into your car up in Walmart and scratches a big dent in it. A lot of people think it's the one that lives over across the creek that never bothers you. That's your neighbor too. If his cats is eating your cat food and stuff, we got possums. They're God's creatures, toting ours off the porch or something. But you got to make God's word first place. Give me that Mark. Is it Mark 4? I believe I got it. I want to just read these. The sower sows the word. This is a parable of Jesus. And this whole parable right here, he's emphasizing on the word. He says it right there, the sower sows the word. How many knows who the sower is in our life? Me and you. We are the sowers in our life. We pick that word up. I read it a lot. I meditate on it a lot. I look at it. I think about it. I ponder it. You know, I don't just come Sunday and that's the only time I think about God's word. I think about church and God all the time. I don't know if everybody does, but I do. I just do. He said, the sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside. There's some wayside Christians. Wayside people. He said, and these are the by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard it, Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. You know, I made up my mind as a 3-month-old Christian. Not 6 months, 10 years. I made up my mind because of this right here. I thought, you know what? A guy tried to get me saved on the riverbank when my younger brother Preston that comes here, and I didn't. I didn't want nothing to do with it. I was a waysider. The word was being preached to me, and I let the enemy talk me out of it right then. And he did. He taught me out of it, praise God. But about 3 months into it, I thought, you know what, Black God? I'm going to read God's Word, and if it's in God's Word, then I'm going to renew my mind to it. I'm going to renew my mind to God's Word. The first thing God began to show me in there is I'm supposed to be blessed. My marriage is supposed to be whole. My relationships with people are supposed to be healthy. And when I begin to tell them that come over that I did drugs with, you know, that we got born again, Teresa asked one of them one time, we used to get drugs from, and they come over, and she's sitting there with Teresa one day, and Teresa just asked her, she said, "Do you ever think about God?" Hadn't ever seen her again, I don't reckon. That was the last time, you know. But you know what? To me and Teresa, God saved us. He saved our marriage. He brought us back together. And we've seen him do signs, wonders, and miracles. I've seen him. You know, I got up and anointed my house. Some of y'all need to go home and get your cooking oil out. You need to get the cooking oil out of your car. You need to have communion. You can have communion at home. It's not just a church thing. He said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me, my broken body for and all of that, you know. Well, some of you need to go home and get you some Crisco out, if that's all you got, your anointing oil, whatever you got. And I'm talking about just go anoint your house and tell Satan, that I'm putting the blood of Jesus over the doorpost of my house and my windowsill and all of that. I anointed my house so slick. It was so slick down, Teresa couldn't get in. And she come in just a-cussing me and everything. What the blank have you done to the, what have you done? I mean, she did the cussing, and I'm thinking to myself, ha-ha, anointed the house. That's what I done, you know. But you know what, Brad God? Where's she at today? Come on in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. She wasn't saved or nothing. She left me and she ain't going to, you know, have nothing to do and all of that stuff. And I'd got born again in my living. The same day I got born again, I didn't know nothing about Christianity or anything. I turned the TV on and that preacher on there, he said, "Why don't you just anoint your house with oil? Anoint your house with anointing oil." And I thought, what's an anointing oil? You know, I didn't know what anointing oil was, and he said, "I forget it. Just get the Crisco." And I thought, that's what we cook with. So I went in there and got the Crisco. And I went in there just because that preacher said it. But God, and I thought, this is what we do. And so anointed my house, praise God. So when she touched it, she come under the anointing. She touched the anointing. I've actually prayed over an anointed prayer cloth and put them in under people's pillows and different kind of things. Sounds stupid, don't it? It's in the Bible. Paul anointed those handkerchiefs and different things. Hallelujah. What? That's doing things according to God's Word. It wasn't actually the oil. It's not actually the cloth. It's the act of your faith. It's the act of your obedience, your faith, that if you do this, the anointing is on this, and it'll destroy yokes, and it'll lift burdens. That's what the anointing does. How many knows the anointed one lives on the inside of every believer? We are. That's why we are the anointed of God. But you've got to take God's word, and you've got to put it, I mean, when you're facing your job and you just hate your job and you just dread your job, and I mean, you get up and take a stand tonight and say, "Glory to God, I'm going to enjoy the works of my hands." The Bible says I'll enjoy the works of my hands. And get out of bed and say, "Good morning, Lord," and say, "Lord, I thank you today is the day that you've made, and I'm going to be happy and I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm going to enjoy." You talk yourself into lacking what God has given you. I don't have to go work and do garage doors. I just want to, Johnny. I'm actually looking forward to in the morning. That is Jesus. I mean, I used to call in lie sick. You know, I wasn't sick. I just ain't going to work. And now I look for every reason to go to work. do something. The Bible, why? That word transformed me. I'm telling you, the Word of God, you don't have to change yourself. All you got to do is love God and make your heart up, I want your will, God. Just simple, I want your will, God, and get in His Word and just read His Word. And when the devil tells you you don't understand nothing, cast the thought out and say, shut up. Tell the devil, shut up. I'm not trying to understand. He's going to quicken me. You got to change your thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, the Scripture says. So you got to change your thinking. Change your thinking and it'll change your heart. And I'm telling you, praise God, I mean, I tried to sell a truck, you know, and I had people going to come. Hey, I mean, that's terrible. You put off your time and all that. Well, I got up this morning, and I told the Lord, okay, Lord, I said, just help me. I said, I thank you, Lord, that that truck will sell. You will send the right one, Lord, and that truck will sell. Ain't that what Proverbs 3 says we're supposed to do? Acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. Get that word and put it in your mind, and I mean meditate on that right there. Thank you, Lord. And then come out of your mouth and say, God, I thank you, Lord, that I'm training myself to acknowledge you in everything. I'm going to acknowledge you, and you are going to direct my path because your word says that you will give me a clear path, that you will direct it. I expected him to do it. Well, the first one that came, he didn't even get to drive it. You're not going to run me any later. I'm trying to study my sermon, and I'm rushing the dude. And I said, are you going to buy it? Oh, well, yeah. I said, well, okay. I done made all the bill of sales out. I said, sign it right here. And I done signed the title and all that. I said, count the money out. He didn't even drove the truck. He said, is it a good truck? I said, I told you it was. Praise the Lord. Well, my point is, I acknowledge the Lord and I ain't got to go through all these liars anymore that tells me they're going to show up and they don't. Right? If you don't, that's a lie. If I tell you on Marketplace I'm coming, I'm coming. I don't care if I get pulled over and get $800 tickets all the way up there. I'm going. I'm going. Why? But because you got to be true. Right? The word transformed. Used to, I was not like that. I didn't change myself. I just started coming in agreement with the Word of God in areas, and I'm endeavoring to go deeper doing it in other areas because it works in my finances. I'm too blessed. I had a hat when I wasn't blessed, and it said, I'm too blessed to be stressed. And when I felt like I was defeated, I would put the hat on. Right? Why would I not? It says, and then if I read it, I'm listening to it. And then I would say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm blessed. I told Teresa, don't think that I'm about money. I could care less about money. I didn't have money when Jesus saved me to amount to anything, and I've not went after money all these years. Money comes after me. That's Deuteronomy 28. All these blessings will come on me and you and overtake us. Not labor. You got to renew your mind to this because the world don't think this way. The world says that you've got to go 40 years before you can own a house. That's a lie. The world says there's no way for you to have without borrowing. God's word says, oh, no, man, nothing. I'm not saying that God don't want tell you to borrow either. I'm not saying that. I've never said that. But how many knows that the best way is to go pay cash for your house and you don't have to borrow? That is God's way. That is what God's plan, hallelujah. But you got to take God's word and renew your mind. When I decided that I was coming out of debt, it was not even feasible for my mind to even conceive that I could do that. I got a total on some vehicles that I had, and I owed $30,000 more than they was worth. That is terrible. $30,000. I thought, oh my God. Well, the Lord says you got to make your mind up. You renew your mind. Give me. Let me read this a little more. We got another few minutes. Travis didn't say near as long tonight. Praise God. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. And so they endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, for what? The word's sake that you're hearing. He says, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble, they quit, they give up. You know, the Lord showed me something in this parable back under a long time ago. Now, I used to be real impatient, especially with gardening. I'm a gardener. I like to garden. I mean, I thoroughly enjoy that, you know, have for a long time. Well, anyways, especially squash. I don't know why I'm not really a squash eater or anything, but I mean, I would plant my squash especially, and if it didn't come up in 3 or 4 days, man, I mean, normally, and I knew, you know, everything has to be just right, and if everything goes right, a seed like that will come up in 7 days, 7 to 10 days. If the heat's just right and the moisture's just right and all that, they'll come up 4, 5, 7 days, but 7 days. I'd go out there every time. For years I did it until I got saved, and I did it this 1 year, and I dug it up. You know, I'd dig my seed up. I'd mark spots where I put the seed because I want to see if they're coming up. You know, and every time I would uproot it and kill that. That seed would not come. And I'm reading that, and I'd never thought about it. And I'm reading this right here one afternoon or one night or whatever. And when I got to that, I could see me digging those up. Because I'm wondering, what does that mean? You know? Now, stony is a hard heart. We need to be repentive. Right? Our ground is our heart. And the more the more quick we are to repent about things, the more fertile our ground for the word gets when it goes in our heart. You know, that's why we can't hold unforgiveness when people do us wrong and all of that. That's why we got to get rid of it right quick. And I say it here because I learned that I could forgive before anybody did me wrong. How do you do that? You have a heart that I'm going to forgive no matter what anybody does to me from here out. And once you make your heart up to do that, the Holy Spirit comes in and helps you to do it. He comes in and helps you. But anyhow, keep a repentant heart. You know, if I say something I shouldn't say, I tell the Lord, well, I'm sorry, Lord. I made a statement. I told somebody this evening, you know, I said, I'm sorry about something. And I said it, and the Lord said, you shouldn't have said that. You're sorry. He said, you're not sorry. We're not sorry anymore. We're kings and priests unto God. So I said, I'm sorry, Lord. It's okay to tell the Lord that. You're not telling him in that sense that you're no good. You're telling him, I repent, God. You know. And so don't go around confessing you're sorry. You might get some sorry fruit. Right? Our words need to line up with the word of God. Well, the Lord told me, he said, the word of God, he said, is just like that seed. He said, if you let something take it out of your heart, he said, it's the same as digging that squash up. He said, you never got squash off of that vine. Because I was killing it. He said, you got to let the word stay in there, have a repentant heart, and let the word stay in there until it gets root. I mean, you hear the word one time, usually that's not going to be enough root for you. I mean, you got to hear it again, think on it, I think on the word, I go around calling myself blessed all the time. Not when I'm in church. There ain't nobody around me. I do it. I tell the Lord, thank you, Lord, because of you and your anointing, I am blessed. I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed is the fruit of my body, blessed. I do it all the time. Now, it was a challenge back yonder because people would say, well, you really can't say all that because it's not really true. Because I would say I'm blessed, and they knew I wasn't, and I knew I wasn't. So they say, well, you can't say that because it's not really true. And I would always say, the Word says for me to say it. Calling those things that be not, Romans. As though they are, as though they were. So I stopped calling myself sick, and I hadn't had glands swell up in 30 years. I went to the ER every year, every spring and every fall, up to the point till I got born again and found out that I was healed by Jesus' stripes over 2,000 years ago, and this was under the curse, which is in Deuteronomy 28:18 and on. It's in the curse, and I read that this stuff is in the curse, and then I knew what Galatians 3:13 says. It says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law of sin and death and destruction. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything? Hallelujah. God's good. He says, hear the word, and the cares of this, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and what? The cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And I thought, unfruitful word. So, in other words, if you flip this right here, and you don't let cares, your light bill, your water bill, your neighbor, your brother, your sister, right? Church trouble, all of that. It can choke the Word of God and it won't bear fruit. One of the things that the Word of God does, according to Romans 10:17, is fruit, is it produces faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then James over there, he says, but be doers of the word of God, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. So if we're not careful, we can deceive ourselves. We can know the scripture and quote it, but not embrace it. I'm going to give you an example of embrace it, or be a doer of the word of God. Because our mind can't figure this stuff out. But the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and gives us light. I read the Bible back there. I wasn't too old in the Lord. And Dad told me, you know, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. New Testament's the best to read after you get saved. And so I'm reading in there, and Jesus told him, he said, love your enemies. And when I saw that, I just shut the Bible. And I said, I don't like that. At that point, I had some people that I really didn't like on this planet. And I'm not, that's the old man's dead, but, you know, your flesh don't get born again. You get born again in here, in your spirit, man. Your mind is not born again. Your will is not born again. Right? You got to renew it. You got to renew your mind to God's will. When you renew your mind to God's word, it changes your will and desires. It changes what you desire. Hallelujah. And so I shut it, you know, and I just quit reading it. And every time I'd go to pray, that thought would come to me, that love your enemy. I thought, man, I'm not going to do it. I didn't sign up for that, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, one day not long after that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, son, he said, my word is not to destroy you. He said, my word is to set you free. That's what Jesus told the disciples. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So the word of God, if we continue in it, continually makes us free. It continually sets us free and takes us deeper in Christianity and spiritual, our spiritual life. and we see the fruits of it. Some of the fruits of the Word of God is it brings faith. And then faith has joy. Faith has peace. It, real God given faith to you by the Holy Spirit gives you peace even though you're laying in the hospital fixing to have open heart surgery. Right? Even though your wife might come and tell you, I want a divorce and pack up and leave. Amen. Hallelujah. Real God faith from the... And He don't hold back. The Bible says that God does not hold back not one good thing from those that walk upright. And you got to renew your mind. Walking upright don't mean that you do everything perfect, that you're totally flawless, that you don't ever make a mistake. That's not what it's talking about. He's talking about just like the psalmist David, even without the Holy Spirit, I mean the dude royally messed up, and I'm not giving license for that. But he royally messed up in his life, but he repented and he had a heart after God. And God said that he had a heart after me. And back yonder I thought, man, God is so merciful. He's merciful. And it made me feel good, Richard. Because I've came a long way, but boy, I'm telling you, I was nowhere back down there when I'm talking about. I mean, I looked at myself and I thought, God can't love me. God can't use me. I still got a temper. I still would do people. I still would fight if you pushed me far enough. Now I won't. I will not. My fighting is in the spirit realm. The Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Well, see, Satan tries to, he don't bother y'all too much about people coming to church or not, but that's one of the things he uses on ministers. He tries to use that on ministers. What's the use? You pour yourself out, you preach them sermons, and they come back worse than when they left. You must not be anointed. He's a liar. It ain't got nothing to do with me and you what people do. People make choices, right? But the enemy will try to use that on people that want to grow and advance and develop. But God's Word, see the cares, that means your light bill. David, right? Choke the Word. Did it become unfruitful? Light bills, water bills, business. All kinds of stuff, whatever's in your arena, or trusting in money. If you just had enough money, life would be better. No, get better on the inside, and the money is just going to come. Amen. It don't matter about all that. God's going to bring it. The Bible says that He'll supply all of our needs according to His riches. Then what are we concerned about? If we're concerned, we disannul that scripture. Right? We cause that scripture not to bear fruit. If God watches over His word to perform it, then I got to make sure that I guard the word. Guard it in my mind. Guard it and make sure that I don't speak contrary to what the scripture says out of my mouth. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaks. Well, if I've got the abundance of the Word of God and the faith of God in here, then I'm going to be speaking in line with that. Now, when I first started out, I'd have to catch myself and, nah, man, don't think that, don't think that. If you think for 1 minute that you're not going to have to exercise casting down thoughts, you're not going to be very effective in your faith walk. I'm just telling you. If you think you're, give me that Romans 12, Beth. Now the last part of that, it says good ground. It talks about good ground. He said, these are those that are on good ground, talking about the Word of God. He said, and these are those that are on good ground, who when they hear, they bring forth fruit some 30, 60, and 100 fold. That means that I'm determined that I hear the Word of God on prosperity. I read it for myself. I hear it in there. But God, I'm going to lay hold of it, and I'm going to believe that God will do what that Bible says. And I don't care if I told Travis I come out and I took a little money out of the bank, saving money. Everybody ought to have a saving account. Every Christian on this planet, every person on this planet needs to have you a snuff can, a quart jar. I don't care what you call it. It's a storehouse. In Malachi 3, it's called a storehouse. How can he bless something you don't have? Right? I come out and I walked instead on the, and I stopped and I had a little bank bag and I stopped Travis. Me and him stopped there and I told him, I said, several years ago, son, I said, I stood on this same sidewalk right here and I said, the bank was calling me every other day or so because I was withdrawn. What do you call that? Yeah, that overdrawn. It's been so long I done forgot what it's called now. Overdrawn. But you know, it was pretty common at that time, 2007, 8, 9, 10, and for that to happen to me. And I was challenged through the, like you will be, through the whole thing to believe God's word. That's what it's talking about. The cares of this world come in and choke the word out of me, that it's not fruitful. What that means is God can't bring it. God can't do it. So anyhow, I told Travis, I tell him, I said, I stood on this right here. I said, and I confessed I was blessed. I said, when I was overdrawn, I had to tell him in the bank, give me a few more days and I'll get it took care of and blah, 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 you know, and all of that stuff. And I walked out of the bank. I said, now. I said, this, I held the bank bag up to him. I'm making an example to my son. And every one of y'all should believe God and make an example. I told him, I said, now. I said, I am here. I said, son, and I am walking out literally in my life what I have believed God for several years. The devil told me I would. He told me this church wouldn't make it. He's a liar. We've been here 24 years. You know what would stop it? If I quit. That's all. Quitters never win. Right? But winners don't do what? Quit. Don't quit your job. Take less naps. Johnny's like, oh man. No, that was me. Teresa, I can quote the scripture. But, you know, we try to take a nap. Nothing wrong with that, man. I'll take a nap, man. I'm not ashamed to take a nap. I'll take a nap. You know, but Satan come in there and he'll tell me just want to take a little nap. I've never took naps, man. I ain't got time for a nap. Well, he come in there, he'll tell you. He'll try to use it when it's not right. A little sleep, a little slumber. A little folding your hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come. Now, if you're sleeping too much, that works for you. Right? The Bible says the hand of the diligent. Be diligent to take God's word. 1 Peter 2:24 tells me and you that by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. We ought to be taking that word. The word is medicine to our flesh. And we ought to be taking that word every day, even if you're taking medicine or what. And you need to be confessing out of your mouth, I am the healed of God, bless God. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. And tell your body you're going to line up. Caleb was 80 years old and climb a mountain to get his promise, hallelujah. Right? Noah built an ark for 120 years without the church. He didn't have no church. He built. He obeyed God. Just him and his eight. I think there was eight on that ark. Speak it out of your mouth. Put that Philippians 4:13 up there. I'm going to try to get done in 8 more minutes. Try. I can do all things through Christ. How much can you not do? According to this, there is not anything that you can't do that the Lord's telling you to do according to this. You can keep that job for 30 years. Right? You can have your banking account and put $3 in it and don't touch it. Travis called me up while I was down, and he had started him a banking account, and I was in the hospital, and things had got a little tight with him, and didn't have no money, and business wasn't making a lot at that moment. And he called me up, and he had started saving some money, and I don't know, he didn't have much at that time, several years ago, I guess 7-8 years ago. He called me up down there, and well, Dad, blah, 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 you know, and he said, I'll just take some money out of the savings, you know. And I told him, don't touch it. I said, God will come through for you. Well, my emotions, I'm like, take it all out, man. Bring us some down here, man. I'm having to eat this junk, and Teresa could buy that over yonder and bring it to me. They had me on a diet down there. I lost a lot of weight in 2 weeks down there eating that stuff, man. Blood pressure leveled out like it's supposed to be and everything. True story, ain't it? I mean, blood pressure leveled out, boy. I mean, I'm telling you, all my vital organs, they all got in line while I was down there. And I got out of there, but God, and went straight over to Crystal's. I threatened him when I got out. I told him, I said, Travis, he'd come down there and pick us up. And I told him, I said, listen, I said, don't argue with me. I said, if you're going to argue with me, I said, take me to the house and I'm going to get in my own vehicle. I said, and I'm going down. I don't care what that doctor says. I said, I want some crystals. So we drove all the way across the country to Crystal's over there. And I eat one of them, and the surgery changed my taste buds. Worst crystals I ever eat. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know what? Praise God. We got to take the word. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. And you know what? If you physically can't do some things maybe you used to, and you know, get up. Get up and say, I can do all things through Christ. You just walk in faith. When you do that, you are activating faith. You are saying, I can do what my body says I can't do. When you have a bank and it's saving money, I can do what my mind says I can't do. I can do all things. And then this brings the supernatural anointing on us, on anybody that does us. And then you're not walking in your own ability and strength anymore. You are walking in the faith of God, and He's the one that makes supernatural things happen for me and you. He turns it up. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, anyways, y'all got it? Get that I can't out of your head. That's in your head. This Bible ain't going to change when you get 100. Right? It ain't going to change when I get 90. Somebody told me here a while back, you feel 57, I think. I said, well, I guess I do. I'm 57. Do you feel old? And I'm like, well, I don't know what old is, but I don't guess I do. Well, I'm not going to start confessing it. Because, you know, before I know it, I'll feel old. I'm not dumb. I'm not stupid. My body's changing. But that word don't change. And the Bible says in Proverbs 18 and 14, see, you need to be able to quote these scriptures. Preachers ain't the only one that should be able to. I didn't learn these scriptures so I could come quote them to you. I learned and meditated on these scriptures for me and my personal life. I come up here for 45 minutes and preach to people. But I live the rest of the week, and the rest of the month, and the rest of the year, and I have the same devil y'all face, and I have the same people that's anointed by the devil that y'all face. I have the same thieves, right? So I have the word of God, hallelujah. This that I'm doing right now just blesses me. Yes, it does. But what thrills me more is to see every one of y'all walking in the faith of God and getting your signs, wonders, and miracles, getting your breakthroughs in your finances, hallelujah. I mean, your checks, your limited checks, disability, whatever it is, or your 40 hours or 30 hours a week is not, don't, you can let that limit you. Limit what God can do, hallelujah. Give me that Romans 12 too, Beth. Be not conformed to this world. Don't Don't be conformed to this world, the way the world thinks and acts and says and does. You know, just like little Aubrey, she told me she loves the Lord and she's the biggest giver. I mean, she gives a lot, you know. But I kept on, you know, trying to get her tithe here years ago, and I ain't giving Jesus nothing. She couldn't see giving something. She couldn't see nothing. How many knows that they's adults that way? I'm talking about they got to see God bless them before they going to do anything for Jesus. How many knows that was Thomas? Jesus told Thomas, he says, blessed are those who believe they're healed and not see it. Blessed are those that believe they're financially blessed when they're broke. Blessed are those that believe that their relationship with their kids and grandkids and all of that is going to get better. We've got one family here, they fasted. I think, you know, she did too. They both went, you know, they went on a fast, hallelujah. And see, we seen God work miracles, not just in the natural. We seen them grow, spiritually grow, closer to the Lord. That was more important than anything, to grow closer to the Lord and worship the one that is able to do abundantly above, greater than we think or ask. But you know what? God works in my job. I mean, I'm all the time having to forgive people. All the time. When I want to go, like some people says, give them a good throat punch, they wouldn't breathe for a week. You know? But you know what? We constantly have to walk in the fruit of the Word of God. See, I don't have any enemies in my mind. I just don't have any. Because people here on this earth that is work, they're yielding to the devil, they're not my enemy. The Bible says I don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So I can war against them and not handle the real deal. I can actually get worse myself, get bitter myself. But I can handle the real deal. I come against you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I bind you. Praise God. You might work in that person, but you're not going to work through that person to me. And I'm not going to retaliate against that person in the natural. And I've learned the hard way, Richard. I'm on my way one time, and Teresa, she's bedridden. She was pregnant with Judah, our son that's in heaven. We lost him, you know, and he's in heaven right now. Praise God. He's going to get some of Travis's inheritance up there, because we're laying treasures in heaven. But anyhow, she's laying bedridden, all of that, and man, she can't cook or nothing and can't mow the yard anymore. And I mean, she does a lot around the house and my business and different things, you know, and so she couldn't do none of that, and all that pressure was on me. And then the church, you know, and coming preaching faith when I'm under such fire, I feel like I don't have no faith. I said, feel. You feel like you can't do it. Well, anyways, this guy, you know, I mean, we're financially not in good shape too, and this guy, he wouldn't pay me. Because he didn't have a plug to plug the opener up. I went and did the job and did mine and plugged it up with the drop cord and set it and all of that stuff, and he wouldn't pay me. He wouldn't pay me till I put a plug in there. And I told him, I said, I'm not an electrician, you know. That's not my problem, blah, blah, blah. So he's not going to pay me. So he's going to take off, he's going to take my money out of it that he owes me and pay an electrician, because he feels like I did him wrong. And I didn't do him wrong. I'm not supposed to wire your house for your garage door, right? Well, anyhow, I'm down, you know, and I'm at the end of my ropes with it. I'm at the end of this flesh. And so I called Doris up, and I asked her, I said, Doris, she didn't know that. I said, hey, I said, reckon you could come over and stay with Teresa for a little while? Oh, yeah, when you need me. And she come on over there. I said, I'll be back in a little while. And so I go outside, you know, and I call the dude. I said, hey, man, and I said, you at home? Yeah, I'm there. And I said, okay, I'll see you in a few minutes. I hung the phone up. But God, and I turned to silence the phone, all of that. And I imagined when I got there, when he opened the door, you know, I was going to do like my oldest brother taught me. And I was going to give him an uppercut under here. Satan will paint pictures for you to get you to yield to the flesh, no matter what area it's in. He'll paint you pictures and make you think that it's going to give you relief and going to solve problems and all of that, and trying to get you to go for that bait that he's given you so that he can hook you. And so I made it up there, and I thought, this dude right here, I thought, I'm going to lose the church. I know that. I mean, pastor, first thing they're going to do is lock up. You know, and I'm going to be on the lock up. And I thought, well, I'm going to lose the church. I'm going to lose my ministry and all of that. But bless God, I can't take it no more. This is the end of the rope. This dude will never do it. I thought, well, this is at least when I do it, he won't never do anybody after this, and I'll save the rest of the people that's going to be doing business with him. See how Satan planned it all? And I get up there, you know, and I'm almost to the overpass that goes across 67 up there to Arab, and I heard the Holy Spirit. He said, pray. And I thought, I don't want to pray. I'm not going to pray. I'm done. He said, pray in tongues. Yeah, he said, pray in tongues. He said, pray in tongues. I had that thought, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. And I thought, I'm not praying in tongues. I'm not. I'm done with this praying stuff. I'm fixing to do something God ain't done. Well, I figure God ain't handling it. I might as well go handle it. That's the way we do it sometimes. It might not be that extreme to you, you know, but I mean, I'm pushed to the point to where I don't care anymore. And that's what Satan, the cares of this world, that's what he's talking about over there. That money that we needed, and he's going to take it. Well, I get there and I thought, oh, well, whatever. It ain't going to do no good. Anyways, I'll pray in tongues. I can pray in tongues anytime. So I started praying in tongues. And I mean, it wasn't just a second after I started praying in tongues, breakthrough on the inside of me came. I'm telling you, praise God. I thought, oh, glory to God. I'm just going to give him them doors, Lord. And then I thought, I'm back. Where was I at? I was caught up in out of the anointing. I was caught up, I was letting the enemy through thoughts make up all of that stuff, you know, so that I would go really majorly mess up. And so I went on to his house and I knocked on the door. And he came to the door and I told him, I said, hey man, I said, bring me that invoice on these garage doors. I can tell you right now. I said, well, just bring it to me. I said, everything's fine. So he brought that thing, and I laid it down there, and I marked paid on it. I said, here you go. I said, you know what? You're right. You don't owe me nothing, man. You just pay for your electric, all of that, and you just keep the rest of it. I said, you just keep the rest of it. See, that's what Paul was talking about when he said, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. You know what the man done? The man took that